Angel S.
My name is Angel, I'm an addict.
Angel.
My topic is willingness. What's my topic? Commitment. Oh, wow. I was all over there with Pam. That's my baby. I'm coming up on 16 years in June, right? And when I think about the topic, I think about how willing I was to trick. I used to like it. It was fun. And I used to have a payday. Somebody got paid on a Monday, was over my house, because my house was a crack house. And then I get the other dude, he get paid on a Tuesday. And then I get the other one on Thursday. So about throughout the week, I done tricked all week long. And then when it's gone, I'm out in the street. And I remember getting high, and my family didn't know I was getting high. But at the end, I didn't care what you knew. It didn't even matter. I used to geek and run around, and didn't want nobody see me. But at the end, it was like, okay, do you got $20? You know? And I was so committed with using. I was committed with not being responsible for me or my four children. I was committed of boosting and stealing and selling food stamps. And I remember the dope boy took me to the grocery store. Because I said, take all the food stamps. We had it in the paper there back then. It was the paper. I give him the book. I was like, I got my stamps, get all of them. He was like, no, Angel, you need to go to the store and get the children some food. And he took me to the grocery store to get some food. And I remember being willing to, like, when the child protective service came to my house, I was willing to go out the door with the baby in my arm. He was 3 months old. Because my mind said, I got $20. I can get 2 for $15. Forget that the police was in my house, the child protective service, it was the health department, and it was the Section 8 people. Everybody came at the same time. At the same time. So the lady looked around my house and she was like, let me look in your refrigerator. And I got my baby. He was 3 months old. I got him in my arm. So my other two children, because see, I taught them, I'm committed, right? So I taught them how to lie and steal. And matter of fact, the oldest one, you take care of your young brother. Then y'all cool together and take care of your sister. Then all three of y'all take care of the 3-month-old baby. Because my purpose is to use. Matter of fact, that 3-bedroom I had, one of them bedrooms was a crack house. I mean, a bedroom that I need to trick and get high. And you need to get out that room so I can get in that room and do what I got to do. So now I'm like thinking when the people came in and they was like, let me look in your refrigerator. And then my refrigerator had a big pot of spaghetti that somebody down the street gave me. And I had it in a pot, and the lady was like, that's some sensor. She was like looking around my cabinets and stuff, and she kept looking. So while the police right there, they was doing all this investigation through the house. I was like, the back door right there, got the baby, he 3 months. I went out the back door. Because my mind said I got $20. And I didn't care. And when I went out the back door, it was on Montello Avenue in D.C. And when they noticed I was gone, so the police come. They got the guns up to me, like, ma'am, you need to give up the baby. And my mom was like, I got 2 for $15. So when I gave them my baby, it was a feeling I had. Because I'm still committed abusing. I'm committed. So I'm like, I got to give me 2. I was happy when they went out the door because it was like they out my way. I can trick some more and I can get high some more. And all money must be spent on using. But then when I did go and the lady was like, okay, they called my family and my aunt came to the house and she was crying and she took my boys and they was like, no, we can't take them. They said, you got to meet us in court the next day to get the children because the child protective service took my children. So my aunt went to court. She got the boys and 2 of my boys and this young lady in the fam, a friend of mine, she got my daughter. But then the 3-month-old baby, nobody can get them. I'm still committed using them. And when they got my baby, they was like, okay, we're going to have to meet him to the hospital. I'm still committed using. And when the Child Protective Service came to my house, she was like, okay, well, you need the ongoing treatment. I said, okay, I'm going to go next Tuesday. So when she came next Tuesday, I still was using it because I'm committed. And she was like, you need to go and treat. I said, I'm going next Tuesday. So I ain't never go to about 4 months later. So they had been to my children. They gone. So now, one day, I'm just so twisted. My mouth was like going to the side and my arm was tingling. They told me I was having a stroke, but I didn't know. So I'm still trying to put a stem in a twisted mouth. And I had a bag of straw and I'm just gone out my mind. And I got scared. My uncle told me, he in a program, he said, I want you to say the third step prayer. So I said it while I was using. And so I called my grandmother 5 o'clock in the morning and I just said, Grandma. And she hung up the phone and next thing I know, she was at my door. She ain't had no conversation with me. When we gone, all I know, she dropped me off at detox. So I had the stem and stuff, so I put it in the bushes because I got reservations to be committed to use again. But when I get in the detox, I'm still committed. And I'm gonna speed it up because when I get in the detox, I slept about 4 days, but I heard a young lady share. H&I came in, and when the lady shared, I got scared. And I was told the case manager, I was like, I'm scared. I think I'm going to use. Because I had the stem outside. And I said, can you help me? And she said, yeah, I'm going to put you in another treatment, bed to bed. So when I get in a treatment, I'm still committed to tricking. I'm still committed to manipulating. I'm still committed of everything. It's just that I'm in treatment now. And they said, well, don't get in a relationship with none of the peers. I said, okay, well, I'm going to get the driver. So when I got the driver, they was like, you know, I'm talking about being committed of tricking. It didn't matter because I was clean. So I was like, okay, they put me in a circle and they had me put a sign up. And you know, we had to wear these turbs around our head. They was like, the director was like, did you trick with the guy? You meet him in Virginia and did it? I said, what, me? I said, no. Lying like a mug. But then as time go by, I get scared again. I'm scared. I'm still committed with that behavior. My mind say using. So when I go, you know, and it's a part of my story. So I don't go to doctors. It takes too many buses to catch to go to the doctor. And I can be using, taking up that time. So I'm not doing no teeth. I'm not doing no physical. I'm not going to see if I'm checked for nothing because the last man I sleep with, I don't even know his name. I just know he got on a red shirt. And the other one got on some blue tennis shoes. I don't know their nickname or nothing. So when I get in treatment, they tell me, okay, you know, we want you to see about this 3-month baby that we took. And they said, he's sick. I'm like, okay. And they said, well, I want you to take a test. Okay, they tell me I got the virus. But I'm like, okay, let me use the phone. So I call the dope boy. I said, come meet me. And I went out to the treatment facility to go meet the man. And my grandmother was riding down the street. She lived all the way in Maryland. The treatment facilities in Northeast in D.C. And I'm walking, trying to get to that corner right there. And she rolled down the street and she seen me. She took me to her church and she prayed. And she took me out of the church and took me back in treatment and told the people what happened. And they said, you know, I get in trouble for deviating or whatever, but they work with me. So it's my thing. I want to know, like, how you want me to stop getting high? I'm a raised 4 children, and you want me to stop getting high? Then you're going to tell me I got the virus? Then you told me I can't trick no more? Then you told me I can't smoke a cigarette? That was too much for me. Come on, I was like, I'm going to do this shit clean. Come on, baby. And then as my process being committed, somebody in the room hugged my hand, and they rubbed my hand. They said, it's going to be all right. Yeah. Stay clean. Okay, then I go to court and the judge who took my children, he seen me and it was a transformation. And he told me, he said, I see a transformation. He gave me back all my children, but my little boy couldn't nobody get. And I'm talking about the commitment I am like now. We're going to talk about the now story. Yeah. Come on, man.
I'm committed first to look out for Angel. I'm committed to stay clean. I'm committed to use my sponsor. I just completed my fourth step, and it took me a minute to get that. It did several cycles of the steps, but this one that I just did, I'm actually practicing the principles of the program. Because I know how to get clean, and I can share you my story. I can tell you my pain, but I ain't practicing no principles in my life, and the only one I practice is not using. So I'm talking about my story clean. I got a year sitting still by myself. And I'm saying this because I'm talking about being committed to the program, to my God, and me. It took me a minute to get right here. I couldn't share this last year. Matter of fact, I ain't come last year because I'm operating off of self-will. And last time I been here was 2 years ago because some things happened in my life that everybody knew about it but me.
In your life.
Yeah, in my life. Everybody knew about it but me. But when I found out about it, it was here in Ocean City. So now I don't want to come to Ocean City. I don't want to share. And I share with different people, but everybody knew. But me. How you think I felt? So now I come in a meeting and I go to women's rap and I raise my hand and I shared it. The difference is, I went to my sponsor. He told me to pray. So what I did was, I've been committed to the program all over again. So when I look at my son, that when they took him at 3 months, he's 16, and my son, I feed him through a G-tube because he got AIDS. And now I'm talking about being committed. That means I go to the children's hospital, teach this little boy how to take pills, tell this little boy he got AIDS through me having unprotected sex, looking at the part I played in it. So I'm talking about being committed when I got to see a nurse to live with me. We no longer have a nurse no more. So I'm talking about how the program work when you just like sit still and do what you gotta do, Angel. How, when I got a daughter, she on the way here now, my daughter 19, how, whatever you do, your daughter is watching you. Then I got 3 boys all together, so my older boys, how about being committed? It's like I showed them how to lie and steal. So when the police came in my house to raid it, clean, I'm talking about all this clean. We ain't talking about no war stories. We talking about clean. When the police come to my house to raid it, I had to look at the part I played in it. And that means that you showed this little boy how to steal, so when he stole the cars, you couldn't even get mad and put it on society and say, well, Boop showed him. No, we know all that stuff from home. Home. So now my son home, and he didn't need a rack of time, but he home, and look how God worked. My son is doing wonderful. My other son doing wonderful. But let me tell you how God works. I sit here and I'm like, God, I sit on the toilet and I pray. Then I sit on the side of the bed and I pray. And then when I'm looking around my atmosphere while they talking, I'm praying. And then one day I got up and my friend was standing there. A friend of mine was standing there. I looked at him and I looked at my fourth step. It was on the table. I looked at the step, and then I looked at him, and then I looked at the step, and I was like, oh, hell no. I put him out. It's new to me. All this is new. Because when you've been around here for a while, and you think that you arrived, and everything is good, and you're the one, and all that, but let me tell you, be up in some pain. Be up in some pain. But me, I had to walk into me with my head up. When everybody knew about it but me. A baby was involved in everything. And then I had to like come and like pray for this person and like make a decision in my life. We talking about being committed. So that means I had to do my step work. Then I had to keep my word. No, I ain't had sex in a year. No, I don't want to be in a relationship.
No, I'm going to be by myself. I thought I was going to be in some pain. I'm up here getting ready to grab the pain. Pain, come on, come on, come on. Once again. And God then set it up, y'all, that this is the first year I in a hotel by myself. I'm like, what? And how we, you know, we women's and we men in here, we don't want to share the truth. We want to dress it up. My truth is I was in some pain, clean. My truth is the depression got me so locked and loaded, I don't want to come outside. My friend can tell you, I want to pick and choose with meeting I want to go to. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to a meeting. I isolate. I stay in the house and smoke all the cigarettes, look at TV. But one day, she told me, I was in school. So while I'm going through, clean, I'm in school. So she was like pushing me, Angel, you could do it. So I went to school. Okay, then I go do something else, I'm back in school. So I finished that, but while I was going through, I kept doing something, moving, doing something, and didn't know that something was going to help me to get to where I'm at today. Didn't know. Until I look back at my story now, and I'll be like, damn, clean. All this stuff we talking about, clean. We ain't talking about what I did when I was using. We already know what you do when you use it. How about you have done it in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous? My first year, I ain't know if I was gonna be with the man or if I was gonna be with the woman. I wasn't confused. I was just trying to feel good. I wasn't confused, and I still ain't confused. I just wanted to feel good, and by me having the virus, my mind say I ain't gonna get a man. Then it tell me you ain't gonna get a friend. That's where I was at. And then if I ain't careful, I will sleep with somebody for 30 days, and then the next day I'm looking at them, they looking at me, they wanna fight, and they wanna get married. And I'm like, what the hell? So I know me, that same commitment that I had then, I have it now. But this is a big accomplishment for me not to be tricking. I remember going in the store with my daughter clean. And the man said, ma'am, can I speak to you for a minute? You can't come in the store no more. My daughter was like, mom, what do you want? I said, you gonna talk to me about a job. Clean. And my friend back there told me, you know you can get locked up clean. I was like, fine. I'm talking about being committed. So now that I don't practice them same behaviors, I still need to be careful because I am really clear that I will repeat it again right when I leave out that door. Soon as I leave out the door, you can just smell good and I look at you. You can tell me and give me a hug and say, girl, you cute as shit. So I got to be careful and I need to give myself some information so I can look at myself in the mirror and be like, girl. You know, and then, you know, don't be mad at your friend because he did what he did. What you do is pray for him. You just be there for him. He needs some cigarettes. He needs a couple dollars. You just leave it like that. And the truth of the matter, you still love the person. That's the truth. But I can't be with him. And we was together for a long time. But I'm going to tell you how God works, being committed. I pray to God every day. But a lot of people look at me and they be like, Angel, how did you do that? You still be all right with people in spite of what they did to you. Still be all right with the little baby. Yeah. How about still be all right with the baby mama? Because she asked me how long you been clean. I said, wow. So what I got to do is do what I got to do. And they said, how you get to help the girl who had the baby by your friend? How you get to do it? You just do it. That's how God work. Girl says she need me. I'm like, okay, you want to go with treatment? Yeah.
The baby say he want to stay. Okay, I see you for a minute, but you got to go back home. Because I'm a caretaker and I got codependency issues. So I'm going to take care of you when you didn't even ask me for my help. Oh, y'all, I am so good. This is my daughter, y'all.
I just ran.
So I'm going to say this. That, commitment. I'm committed to staying clean. No matter what. I'm committed to staying clean. And the most thing, I got to watch what I do and who bring me in my house. Because I got a daughter, one daughter. So when she going through some stuff, I got to like be there for her and show her the right way. But be okay with it if she made a wrong decision. Because I made a rack of them and she's seen it. So I got to like show her or like let her see, mommy, okay, my children ain't worried about the virus. They ain't worried about their little brother got AIDS. They ain't worried about your mom, your relationship ain't good no more. All they want to do is, mom, make sure you don't use. That's it. No, I'm going to say this in closing. It was hard for me to go to Children's Hospital and talk to them people, talk to my son. But I prayed about it. And then I had people to help me. The psychiatrist, the social worker, the case manager, the doctor, the nurse. And when I told my son, he looked at me, he was like, okay. He was like, he was like, okay. I said, but you know you said. He was like, yeah, I know. So I asked him questions to make sure I know he know. He knows everything. And I'm thinking he, because he's special ed, I'm thinking he's special. That boy's smart as a mug. And I want to put him in his category of a special ed child. And he slow. That little boy told me, look, we was in school called me last week, said, well, Miss Angel, your son has some rubbers. And he threw them across the table. And I was like, okay. And then they told me, they said, well, you know, that's a fence and we're going to write it up and we're going to put in his IEP. I was like, well, wait, first of all, I ain't signing. So you can't just put nothing in unless I sign it. I said, and another thing is, did he have a gun or did he have a knife? And the school was like, no, he just had a rubber. I said, well, then for real, y'all really need a rubber up in there? So then they looking at me and I'm looking at them and I'm like, they wanted me to fuss with him. I couldn't fuss with him. I just asked him one question. I said, what you use rubbers for? He said, for protection. I said, wow. So I said, well, did you be doing it at school? He was like, no, I never did it before. I said, okay, well, you know you're sick. And I think it's best for you not to think about sex right now. And if you do, wear a condom. And he understood it. And I'm like, I had him so for so many years in his box that he's not. He got to live his life, but as a responsible, committed parent, I have to talk to him and tell him the whole truth. Mommy had unprotected sex with your dad. And when I said your dad, he got angry. But it's okay. Because the most important thing I know for me doing a fourth step is it asks you what part you played in. And the part I played in is, Angel, you had unprotected sex. Because you could have told the man to put the condom on, but when I'm locked and loaded, use it. It takes too much time to walk to the store to get the rubber. Somebody might get in my spot, and I'm getting high. So I'm locked and loaded, I'm not moving. So the part I played in is I didn't tell him to put on a condom. Matter of fact, we ain't going to get one. We're going to do what we need to do. But the difference is today I'm being responsible with my health. That means I've been like drinking a little vinegar and water and trying to get this stomach down when it ain't gone yet, but it's going. You know, I'm trying to like take care of me. That means I got some goals that I want to do with my life. That I've been doing, like taking baby steps. Because my mind would tell me I'd be so caught up on a relationship, other people, that I will forget me. And at the end, I will be harmed. I would be in the corner, don't want to come out with my hair matted down, don't want nobody see me and lost all this weight, and then I gain the weight back, and then I'm isolating and depression, then on a circuit and all that. I'm like, what? We said, I'm clean. I will make a decision off the first decision, then I change that decision off the other decision. So a lot of times I got to go past people who care about me. And look, man, this is where my mind at right now. But one thing I know is a God. I already had a God, but I used my God wrong. When I was using, God, please let this trick hurry up and come. God, please tell him to hurry up and get this over with so I can get my crack and my dope. But now, God, help me, please. Please forgive me for my forgiveness and my sins coming to my heart and save my soul. And I remember that prayer my great-grandmother told me when I was about in the fifth grade. So it's like, what do you do now, Angel? I do the best thing I could do and be committed on being a friend, being a sponsor, you know. And the girl who I used to sponsor, I thought, I can't sponsor you no more. I got to look out for me. And if I can't give you no information to help you, you ain't trying to take it, I got to remove myself. So I got to go to my sponsor and tell him, look, this is what's going on with me. And the thing about it, the first thing he tell me to do is pray, Angel. Do your step work, Angel. But when I'm operating over codependency, my mind say, I don't need to do nothing as long as I ain't using. But my experience is telling me you need to do a lot of stuff. Because not using is great, but how about getting better with the inside? Because you keep making all these decisions off of a feeling. Off of a feeling. So this is real big for me to come here and really share exactly how my process of this year been. That I'm able to like to sit still and I ain't getting no other boo or bund up. Because my guards is up because I've been healed. I've been harmed. I'm scarred. So I'm letting every man know I'm scarred. So don't come for me after the meeting, because I know I am scarred. So I got to heal. So when I'm healing, I need to sit still by myself. And my beams up so good now that when they come for me, I see it coming. Nah, boy, I ain't doing none of mine. But I'm glad I'm aware of that, because if I was trying to be selfish and not aware of it, I'd pick a victim up for 30 days and then it's done. That's my story clean. So I got to do what I got to do so I can be better, because not only do I got a daughter watching me, then I got 3 grandchildren. Never thought I'm going to have two beautiful girls and 1 boy grandchildren and baby. They are my joy. And then the most important thing, I had to have an intervention through my children. That means when I'm in the house, my children, 3 boys and 1 girl, they said, Mom, we need to talk to you. They had to do an intervention. So when my children did the intervention, it woke me up. I was like, wow, they watching me. So I had to do what I had to do so I could try to be the best person I can be. Yeah, I'm going to make some mistakes. I might make one when I leave out of here. But the difference is that I'm aware of what I need to do. And I got people around who care about me and will tell me the truth. Don't sugarcoat nothing with me. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. Pull me up. Thanks for letting me share.